Tom is in San Diego listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Tom, you get to go first because you called first. How are you?
Doing real good, thank you, and thanks for your show. I have a question, a two-part question. First is regards to, I don't think it's scriptural, but it regards to victim souls that are holy persons, I guess, that suffer for the purification of those in purgatory. I want to know if that is a correct assessment of what victim souls are. And additionally, I have a question about saints and mystics that had visions or visits to hell. Have any of them also reported on visits to purgatory?
Okay, thanks, Tom, for your two questions. Very good. With regard to the first and this idea of victim souls, I've come across it in passing a few times. I don't know much about it and exactly what is proposed by this. From my understanding, as I've come across it, it has something to do with a person feels that God is calling them to, you know, make extreme sort of sacrifices and offerings up to God for the souls in purgatory. My thoughts on that is, I think we have to be a little bit careful when we come to this idea. The fundamental principle there is good and it's valid. I mean, we're all called, Tom, to pray for the souls in purgatory. In fact, on this All Souls Day, or the Feast of the Faithful Departed, or where we celebrate at Mass, all of the souls who have departed, and we all pray for them. We're all called to offer up our prayers, our sufferings, our trials for the faithful departed. Now, whether or not God calls me specifically to engage in sort of extreme measures of offering sacrifices and prayers for those in purgatory, that's something that's sort of, I can't really comment on, because that's sort of an individual thing. Like, I don't know if God appears to somebody individually or gives them an interlocution of, you know, he wanting them to perform certain deeds to offer up for the souls in purgatory. So that's something that's on a subjective level. And if a person, thinks that God is calling them in a very special way to pray for the faithful departed, I think that's a good and holy thing. We have to be careful not to take that to extreme measures. Perhaps that individual would want to seek out spiritual direction from a holy priest in order to guide them in their acts of charity for the faithful departed. So that's a couple of thoughts on that. Now, concerning any saints that maybe have had visions of purgatory, if my memory serves me correctly, I think St. Faustina had some visions of purgatory, as well as St. Catherine of Genoa, if I'm pronouncing her name right there. Jerry, you might be able to help me out. But, you know, they have these visions, these private revelations of what the experience of purgatory might be. And these are good and holy to take into consideration, to reflect upon as a Catholic, especially if the doctrine of a particular saint has been approved by the Church in their writings, etc., which is the case if they're canonized. But it's important, Tom, to always remember that these are private revelations. What a particular saint sees or experiences in a vision about the nature of purgatory or the nature of hell or even the nature of heaven itself, we always have to remember that these are not binding on the Catholic faithful, on the Christian faithful. We do not have to believe them and take them as dogma or doctrine. What we must take as dogma or doctrine is the teaching of the magisterium of the Church. So we stick with the teaching of the magisterium of the Church, which the saints would always tell you to do, and what the Church teaches about purgatory in a definitive manner, the nature of purgatory and what does it consist of, etc. And then we take these private revelations and measure them up to the teaching of the Church, and thus we're able to discern if at least these visions of purgatory, say, fit within the boundaries of Church teaching. And if they do, then they could be used for meditation and pious thought. But if visions would go outside the boundaries, well, then we would have to reject those private revelations. But whenever you have a saint such as Saint Faustina, where, you know, her writings have been examined by the church, etc., we can at least say that these visions would be within the boundaries of church teaching, although they would not be obligatory to believe. So just a few points to keep in consideration as you're going through the writings of these saints.
How's that, Tom?
Sounds real good. I had one other interjection. Now, what about indulgences? Like 1,000 days?
Okay, yeah, so your question is concerning, you know, the church used to use the language of days attached with indulgences, but we don't anymore. Is that what your question's concerning?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it is true that in the past, the church would attach a certain number of days to particular indulgences that she granted. So, for example, if you perform Act A, you'll get 40 years off of, you know, it's like it's 40 days of penance worth of this indulgence. And basically what the church was using that language for, it did not refer to how many days you would get off of purgatory, Tom. It referred to the amount of days that this act is worth in the ancient church for penance. Like, for example, if you committed adultery, you would have to do 3 years worth of penance, let's say, okay? And then the church looks at a particular act of charity or mercy and says, okay, we're going to apply an indulgence. We're going to ascribe an indulgence to that act and say it's 3 years worth for this particular act. And what the church was basically saying is that that act of charity or mercy that it ascribes an indulgence to is equivalent to 3 years of penance in the ancient church. So it had nothing to do with how many days or years the act was taking off of the final purification we call purgatory. What it had to do with, it had to do with sort of an analogy to the value of this act equivalent to what the act of, what an act of penance would have been in the ancient church. So, but today, the church has done away with the use of the language of days being ascribed to an indulgence precisely for that reason, to avoid confusion, because we don't know definitively whether purgatory is instantaneous or days, etc. So, hopefully that's helpful, and we'll get back to it on the other side of the break.